Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. And Jason still has COVID.
I do. It's going. I think it's progressing.
Digressing.
I digress.
It's going away. You're getting better, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But you still have it.
Try to be smart about it. I know smart.
Yeah, I know smart. Oh man. Well, hopefully it'll fully leave your system here sometime soon. I mean, it's not like you have anywhere to go though. So.
Whatever. Yeah, it's not like I'm starting school in a fucking couple of weeks or anything.
Yeah. You've been starting school in a couple of weeks for like the last 3
years. No. It's in the weeks now, man. It's in the weeks. It ain't months anymore.
That's good, man. Yeah. All right. Let's jump into this. The DetailSolutionsPodcast.com is the only website you need in the industry. It's going to have all the links to where you can find the podcast, social media, on Apple, Spotify. We have our wonderful preferred vendor page, which has all of our great supporters who, like I said, man, let's face it. They carry all the good stuff. Like if you can't get what you need from our vendors, like then you need to tell us so we can go get a vendor that has something to do. Have everything.
Tell us so we can go beg for more money.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So all the vendors do have a code that's going to save you a little bit of money, and there's a link at the bottom of each little description for the brand that will take you right to their website, so you don't even have to like open up another browser and try to remember what their website address is. You just click the link, it takes you right there. You use that code, you'll save a little bit of money while you're spending some money, and then hopefully they'll spend some money with us, and then we give you that funny. So hashtag money, money, funny. There you go. Jason loves it.
And then we also feel like we need to start putting that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, we should. Make something up. You're the guy.
I'll try.
And then we have the merch store. So if Jason makes a hashtag money, money, funny shirt, we'll throw it up on the merch store. You guys can go buy t-shirts. We do have the hoodies, we have the hats, we have the Concaster shirt. Sorry, but the AFO shirt will not be in there. That is the one and done. If you did not get it, I don't know what to tell you. Don't wait around until all of a sudden everybody's got shirts and then you want one.
Man, be part of the in crew before it becomes the in crew. Okay,
right. We gave everybody plenty of heads up on that one, and it specifically was a one and done because it was a special event, so I think it just needed to be a one and done. We are guests going to switch up our format. We're not going to go live on YouTube anymore. Is that what you're saying? You would rather just upload the videos so that it hits in the homepage versus in the live section or something? That,
and I want it to just be on the same path as the audio comes out too.
So instead of getting that early access now on YouTube, you gotta wait.
I'm still thinking about it. Because you made some good points too, and I'm still thinking about it. That's why I asked you for your opinion, because two minds are better than one.
So one more thing for me to upload on a Sunday.
No, no, I would do it. Okay, I have no problem doing it. That's why I asked you. That's why I asked you earlier.
Yeah,
you're because apparently my devices never save the passwords and shit. You know, because I've had so much luck with devices lately that it's overwhelming.
Android. yeah. And then we're slowly growing the TikTok. We're like 422, 21, something like that. I think last time I looked. So we are on TikTok, the Detail Solutions Pod. Jason's doing a pretty good with putting some of these reels or live or whatever the fucking called stories or whatever on.
They're just on fucking TikTok. Entertainment. That's it.
Yeah,
it's entertainment.
Whatever he's putting on Instagram and Facebook, he's also putting on the old TikTok. So that's cool there. The road to 100K. We're close, man. It's like 98.3. I made a post on Facebook last night. We've got like, you know, in the discussion group, dude, we've got like 700 and something members. And I broke it down to, you know, we had technically today, counting today, Saturday, this will come out tomorrow on Sunday. We would have had 4 days until Tuesday. So divided it up. It needed like just 400 listens a day. You know, I mean, that's if everybody just listened to one episode a day, right? Like we'd hit it by the 25th, which is the 3-year anniversary. We'd hit 100K. So, more than likely we'll probably miss it by like half a week or a week or so, but that's still pretty cool that in 3 years time to do a 100,000 total listens. I think that's an accomplishment.
Yes, especially in our industry.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, dude, I keep looking at it. I mean, I keep checking our chartable. I mean, we're typically always, you know, averaging in the top 200, you know, between like 200 and I think the highest we ever peaked out was like 26th in the automotive industry. You know, I looked it up, dude. There's like 2,090 something podcasts in the automotive industry. So if we're ranking in the top 200, dude, that's 20%. That's top 20%. You know, that's
something to tip your cap at.
Dude, that's not too bad. It's not too bad. Mm-hmm. So like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button. Anywhere that you're following us or listening to us, please write us a review on Apple or leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. So tonight's episode or today's episode is the second one from Air Force One. We did this one with Rennie Doyle and Evan Elliott, who is the he's kind of like the main guy at the museum. Kind of, he knows pretty much everything.
Can you call him a curator?
Well, would you know, call him
a I know you. He's really not the curator, but
I guess he would be. I mean, that's not his title, but yeah, I guess kind of would call him that. I mean, he apparently does know, you know, the whole museum inside and out, upside down, backwards, forwards, all the little nuts, bolts, and triggers. Just to give you guys a little bit of context in the beginning of the video, in the beginning of
You got to tell them. You got to tell them there's a trigger warning.
Yeah, there is a trigger warning. There's a trigger warning, and there, a little bit of context is Wednesday night when we were at the gala banquet dinner. Jason and I were sitting at the kids' table, and we were there with. Adam Garvin and Daniel Gill and Megan from Car Candy, and we were talking with Adam and telling him how we were going to have Rennie and Evan on the next day, and the new machines, you guys all saw the new Dynabrade Warthog, Rennie Doyle Warthog machines. They were working on prototypes. They were hand built. Not production issue. So, you know, some things weren't 100% perfect. And Adam was telling us they had, they were having trouble on some of the machines when you lock the trigger, and you pulled the trigger, it wouldn't unlock. So they were having trigger issues. Counting all the triggers. So Adam bet us, he told us we needed to do a Super Troopers meow kind of thing with Rennie, and he bet us we couldn't get, you know, we couldn't say trigger 20 times, you know, without Rennie really finding out about it. So we took that bet, you know, we didn't know how it would go over. We didn't know if Rennie would love us or hate us at the end of it, you know, but
you know what that tells me bet. That Adam's never probably heard an episode because that kind of bet is too easy for us.
Maybe yeah. So I did kind of run it past Chris Woolman just to kind of, you know, get the temperature of if Rennie, you know, how Rennie would react, right? And Chris was laughing and loved it. And when I told Chris, Evan happened to be standing there. So yeah. Evan was in on it. So when we sat down to do this, Evan was in on it. And when we start talking about triggers,
yo, he unloaded.
Evan was the man.
He was Evan's the catalyst.
Like, I'm taking it and running with it.
Like, shout out to Evan.
He made sure that we were gonna get that 20. I think we ended up getting more than 20.
And Alex is frozen at this moment. I don't know if y'all can hear him, but I'm gonna continue this intro. Hi, I'm Jason, and I'm the co-host of the Detail Solutions podcast.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Still, yeah, but you were frozen. I didn't know what to do. Oh boy, he left.
You're frozen. Now you're frozen. Oh, I need a picture of that.
Oh no. Wait, they can probably still hear us, right?
Yeah, they absolutely can. Cause it still records the audio. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I always tell you every time if I freeze, just let me keep talking because it's still recording. You're completely frozen, so it's a good thing we're not using this for video. But yeah, so anyways, if you are listening to it and cracking up, it's even funnier on video because you get to see Rennie kind of confused as to why we're seeing triggers so many times that he doesn't really understand it. So he's looking to his left, which is where I was sitting, and then he's looking to his right where Evan was sitting, and Jason was to the right of Evan, marking down counts. So with that, I guess we'll pull the trigger and jump into this episode. So we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
Now is your chance to try Oberg's new rinseless wash and quick detailer. Additionally, you can save 15% by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. This hyper concentrate can be diluted down for a rinseless wash and a quick detailer. It serves excellent as a clay bar lubricant and truly smells incredible. To find out more, please visit ObergCarCare.com.
Welcome back live from the Museum of Flight here in Seattle with Mr. Rennie Doyle.
There you go.
And Evan. Evan Elliott is the man here at the Museum of Flight. Apparently, I've been told that he knows every nut and bolt on these machines. Probably even some of the triggers on the guns, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm ready to pull the trigger right now so we can get going.
How many triggers do we have?
Oh, wow.
We got the trigger to speak.
Yeah.
Trigger to go.
We got a lot of guns out just here. How many guns are on planes just right here in this area, not to mention,
we got many triggers. We got a lot of Brawny 50s over here. Yeah. There's probably,
is there one trigger per gun or two triggers per gun?
Well, there's two levers, so there's, well, we could say one trigger per gun, so the triggers will be triggered.
Nice.
You can't forget the butterfly trigger on the Mod Deuces, though.
Oh, heck yeah. Right? That's, yeah, right? There you go.
I am so happy we pulled the trigger in this.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too.
What about the triggers on the new machines? I want to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't. Yeah, we're just, you know, we're going through, I mean, the new machines. This is really cool because if you guys look at the side sticker, not for resale.
Yeah.
Samples,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we're trying to figure out some little nuances. You know, when you press the
trigger?
The trigger, when you start, is trigger a word? You know what?
I don't know, is it a word?
I think I'm getting set up, Evan. They're trying to trigger me to get me angry. No, they're trying to get me angry.
Hold on. Let me do a count real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
So do a count of what I'm doing to you right now. How many
two.
Is
two?
He seems pretty triggered. He seems pretty triggered.
Two. Right? I love
hit
it.
The mark so we can let him in on what we were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that stupid, but I figured it out pretty quick.
It took you a few triggers.
But I was like, yeah. Well, then he said something. Let's see what we can get you triggered or something like that. I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah. Adam Garvin asked us to do a Super Troopers.
Oh, I dig it. Okay. Now I'm in. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in on the following then?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit? Okay. There we go.
But he did tell me today that you guys did make a slight modification and everything seemed to be working a lot better.
Yeah, you know, everything right now, these are all sample pieces they're trial pieces. I mean, I can't speak across the industry, but this is probably one of the livest, the largest demos. I don't think anybody's come out with that many units at one time just for the purpose of testing.
Yeah.
You know, there's 136 units.
Oh, wow.
So 150 units. And our first gen's included in there. So that was the first couple dozen. And those were all just barely hand-built, you know, low. They're meant to disintegrate pretty quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next level up was one more. We're working out all the – we're talking about a new machine. So Dynabrade introduced the Rennie Doyle series this week. And series is the key word. That's a trigger.
We're done.
You're not going to take a mark your book on that one?
We just had to get 20.
Okay.
So we're good.
Cool. We can still go on with
this. Yeah.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah. So, you know, enough about you because we talk about you all the time.
Do you really?
We really wanted Evan.
Do you talk to me about your wife? I mean, does it come up or?
It might. I mean, you know. I don't know how much, but
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That right?
Yeah. She's probably like, what's that guy's name you're going out to Seattle to see?
Yeah. Like, you're spending like, a lot of time with him. Yeah. What the heck's going on? Well, you know, it's the modern day age and he's trying to figure out we're both trying to figure out what we identify as and you know.
I mean we had a little moment, I will say that.
We were on the wing of Air Force One.
That was Yep. It was like two peas in a pod, man.
Right. Absolutely.
Great.
It's that's an emotional wing for me on that side because so much went on back in the days with Evan when we were here in the early days of Air Force One. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that is that, you know, Evan was here way before. How many years have you been here at the museum?
I've been here 23 years now.
So right before we started, 3 years before, you know, we started on this, you were here. And he was already like crazy intelligent on aircraft. I was neck deep involved in the aircraft side of things. And I came home from the first time meeting him and Diane's like, how was the museum guys? Man, this dude's just a walking encyclopedia. I said, we both geeked out. You know, we just both geeked out. I just, you know, he had me at the first time that aircraft came across his lips. I was like, oh, dang, this guy's cool.
Nice.
You know, not in a weird way. You know, we're both macho, just for clarification. Yeah. You know. We're kind of old school. We grew up. We were raised in the 80s, and we're down with the ladies. So
I don't know that statement you were talking to me a little like 5 minutes ago didn't sound like you were. Well, hold down on, with the
that's
ladies.
Different because you wanted to explore, and I'm a good friend, and I said okay, you know.
This is what happens when we get ready. Completely off script.
Yeah, you know, does this remind you of anything that you've ever served in before? We just go there, right? It goes right there, right? Yeah.
So Evan, so obviously, like Rennie said, you've been here for 23 years. How many planes have you seen come and go through the machine or through the museum? Or have these pretty much been the staples for that period of time?
We've added quite a bit in 23 years. You know, we didn't have this building. A number of the planes were not out here at the time.
Okay.
And then when they were, there were stuffed here and there. Air Force One, for instance, it's been moved four different times. So it's been in four different locations. Yeah. Each location has been a challenge in itself doing this job. And it's been an incredible journey. I mean, the planes are taking the journey too.
Yeah.
Move over here, move there. Mm-hmm. Getting them into this building was a challenge. And so
I bet.
It's nice having a building. We hope we get some walls at some point too, but it sure bit them out in the open in the old days, sitting on the grass or sitting on bowling pavement, broken up pavement and this and that. But the times have changed and the products are used, the times have changed in the application process. Standing out there with poles and tape onto the machines to get the reach, and it's been a definite challenge, but boy, does it sure turn around.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's turned into a machine.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And Rennie was talking last night about Air Force One used to be across the street.
Yeah.
So how is that to move a plane of this size across
that was the easy
road?
One.
Was it easy?
Yeah.
Just shut it down for 10 minutes or so?
And was a difficult one.
Yeah.
Coming across the street was hard. We have a throughway, but there's taking down fences.
Uh-huh.
And then literally permitting to close the highway.
Okay.
And people were just standing out there with their phones and watching, taking pictures.
Yeah.
They didn't care about stopping. They're seeing a Concorde SST going across
Washington
away. Right. You don't see that every day.
Yeah.
Power lines come down and all kinds of stuff.
With the power of the gains on the lines come down. And so there's a lot of entities involved there. Seattle City Light has to come down and remove power lines because clearly the vertical fins are going to be a little too close. And then prepping the area between the street and there was plating, steel plates. And then once you get in the building, you know, everything has to be set. You know, the computer tells you this is exactly where the main gear would have to go in those and the wings. And, you know, we measure and mark, and the tape measure didn't lie. They will fit, but getting into that position, it is difficult. I pulled the B-29 across the street, and everything but the B-17 was in here, and we pushed the planes to the west, as far west as we could get. And I came across the street calling the B-29, and I go, I made it in the building. And they said, your tail is still on the other side of the street. And I'm going, I'm out of room. And so you're making cuts and maneuvers.
Yeah.
But, thank goodness they didn't hit anything.
Yeah.
You know, it is an amazing process. Everything did fit. We did put the 747 and the B-47 up on rolling casters.
Okay.
So we used air casters, lifted a 747 and pulled it sideways.
Wow.
To get it into position. Yeah, it was wild. The 787 had to come in first because it was on the north side of the building.
Okay.
And we didn't have the south side of the building built. And between the structural beam behind us here, they couldn't build the roof without it. So the beam had to go in, but the 8-7 had to go in first.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. And so it was all well choreographed. It was well thought out. It has to be.
I can imagine because, I mean, these planes in here aren't little.
No.
You know, by any means. You know? And you know, to try to Austin Powers three-point turn them, you know, around in here. I can't imagine, like, that's got to be crazy. I mean, kudos to you guys to be able to, like, figure it out and you know, whatever. It's
a great challenge. But we have a really great crew, some really good-thinking people. I have my Ouija board that I set up.
Yeah.
Literally with paper airplanes.
Right.
And we can move them around. They're all the scale. So you move them around to make sure, okay, that fits in the paper. The computer says it'll fit. The tape measure says it'll fit. now we got to go out and do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And hope it really fits. Well,
anytime you move something, when you move an aircraft, that's when the damage happens.
Right.
Yeah. And so not just moving it, but then the risk and the tension of knowing you have to move, you know, in the 747, 727, the 737, all serial number ones.
Yep.
And a B-17F model that's like the only one in, you know.
There's three of those in existence, Boeing-built
F
models, and this is one of them. Yeah, there's a definite fucker factor there.
Right. B-29, how many of those are together? I mean, not too many, you know, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
the Boeing bombers lined up here, and then the B-52 is just behind us there.
That was a cool story.
Incredible.
Just met the gentleman that was really at the spearhead of bringing the B-52 in.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, so we got to meet him, and I asked him, I said, wow, so did you fly? He was a B-52 bomber pilot. I said, did you fly that one? He goes, no, the one I flew in kind of, I ran into a missile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
I was like, what?
You don't just run into him.
No, yeah. It kind of ran into him. But, you know, he happened to be going that direction, and it hit him, you know. So
He went down in B-52.
Right? Wow. I mean, that's.
Fortunately, he was able to survive.
Man, that's just—it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's Evan and I. Our friendship, you know, is based around these aircraft, but there's a lot of similarities in our life and our passions and but very patriotic and it's been a wonderful friendship that, in our appreciation and love and respect for these aircraft, we know what they mean to the future.
Yeah,
and they're much more than just an artifact. They're Americana.
Yeah.
It's history. I mean, I was telling you when we went to B-17, like, I got emotional just being in that, just to think like what those young men back in the day had to go through, the training that they had to do, the things that they faced as an infantryman. That scares the shit out of me.
Right.
Like being on the ground is easy. That's a whole other animal.
10 guys fought a war in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really incredible. There's a lot of heroes that came out of World War II.
Yeah.
A million stories. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. Is, you know, it's watching your business grow and get more professional as our museum grew. And I watched your family grow.
Right.
I mean, you didn't even have all your family.
No, right. Exactly.
It started. Yeah. I remember being on the berm. You were talking to your daughter who was really young.
Yeah.
I think it was Delaney at the time.
Yep.
And
yep.
Daddy, when you coming home? And you just got there. And I was going home.
Break my heart. Oh yeah.
What am I doing to this guy? I just met him.
believe it or not, in 2003, that was Ryan.
Was it really?
Daddy, and now she's a helicopter pilot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Served in the Marine Corps. I mean, that puts in perspective. And that was, you know, that's heart-wrenching when you're somewhere and your daughter just missed. And now for her to be up here last night and partake. So,
I'll tell you what, that's a different story than before launch when I called my wife. And talked to Michelle and Haley, and Michelle said, okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow when you get home, because they were in the car driving home from cheer. Yep. I hear Haley in the back seat, you coming home tomorrow?
Yeah, right. Well, you got to remember, they're a little back then.
Yeah, that's true.
But she's back to, I'm a crowd favorite with my daughters again now because they've grown up.
Yeah, you get past that stage, and then they start liking you again. That's what I've been told. Everybody was like, wait until she's like 13, she's not gonna like you anymore. Yeah. But then when she gets to like 18, 19, then she'll come back and start liking
more like
you.
More like 27.
27.
Yeah. Well, you know, my youngest one's a different story. We've always stayed close. Matter of fact, funny, she left home. We got in our first argument, her mom and I battled her out for the first time in 19 years. Oh, we had never been in an argument, and she left home for 3 days, and I was a wreck. I was a wreck. We knew she was safe where she was, but I just hadn't talked to her, and I've never fought with her.
Yeah.
And so she called 3 or 4 days later, finally. She wouldn't break down. She was so mad at me. I was like, oh, man, I blew it. You know, I shouldn't have been so tough on her. And, you know, Dad, can I come home? And I was like, oh, please come home. You know, it was, so it's been a different relationship. But it's because, and this is what we preached last night, is you can say quality time all you want. These kids need time.
Yeah.
They need a lot of time.
Right.
Yeah. They need you in their life consistently, and go do fun, cheap shit. Just take them out camping, take them out to the, I mean, just be a kid with them. Be 10 years old constantly. Now it drives my kids crazy because I'm 12 or 14. And
speaking of fun, the anniversary dinner last night was like family to me. It was like homecoming.
Right.
I mean, I saw people from past projects from 10, 15 years ago that I haven't seen for a while. And it was, it gets emotional because you spent so much time with them.
Right.
Growing
right.
up with some of them, they become really, they're part of this museum. They're part of me. They're part of this.
They're part of the history.
They're part of the history. And to see them again is incredible.
It's magical.
You were a little touched and I was sitting there listening. And, you know, I thought I was going to have something escape. It was the allergies, though.
Yeah, mine too. And it was hot in there. My eyes were sweaty.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The bond that's going on here, I've never been with a better group of people.
So you want to hear something really funny?
Yeah.
Okay. So Oscar, did a career in the
You're Mexican.
What's that?
He's your Mexican.
Yeah, he is, man. He's I feel like I'm finally back at home where I grew up, you know. Oscar. But you know, Oscar did a career in the Marine Corps, right? And so he pulls me over yesterday afternoon, about 24 hours ago, and he says, "Hey, let's read through the dialogue." So he's got to read through part of it and his lip starts quivering. Well, then I see him start to quiver and I start to get all emotional. Next thing you know, we're both crying. And I'm like, why are you crying? I don't know. Why are you crying? You know, it's so here's, you know, I guess my point to be saying that is here's a couple tough guys that, you know, didn't live ideal lives and were, you know, men among men and were cool being sensitive around each other and letting that go.
Man, I tell people this all the time. I'm not afraid to show a sensitive side. I'm human. I have
Absolutely.
Emotions. I can't control my emotions as good as other people. But right. I mean, listen. Every guy in this world needs a good cry once in a while.
Hey, amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I'm the same way. I think that what's happening now is that some of the crap that, you know, and you'll get this, is that I've witnessed and some of the stuff that I've done, not done bad stuff, but just some of the missions I've gone on and stuff, I think they're coming back in a different way now, and it just makes me a little more sensitive than I was before in certain areas. Other things, you'd probably think, I mean, there's other times where, you know, I'm not, you know, and it is what it is, you know. That's a powerful statement. I remember the first time an older dude told me that, and I was like, what does that mean? Now I know what it means. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? No, wipe it off. Don't wipe it off on boomer side, though.
How cool is it to, you know, be working on these machines over the years and again, the museum's a working museum. I mean, there's people walking around right now taking the tour. There's kids in here taking a tour. You know, being able to see that you guys are preserving, you know, these pieces of history.
It's fun. I mean, this morning I was talking to a little kid. He's probably 4 years old. The funny part was he was more interested in the boom lift I was operating. Yeah. And he's looking at all those cool airplanes. Is it? Look at these cool airplanes, and he was staring at the boom lift sizzle lift driving by.
Right.
I was going to go put him in the gator because, I mean, they see cool things and something's moving. And that's what's kind of cool about this is that everybody can see all this work taking place. Yeah. Like, we care about these planes. We're here to preserve this thing, and people look at it instead of just a sheet metal that's corroding and rotting away. We're truly trying to preserve history here. And then people can watch us, and they're kind of fascinated. How do you do paintwork like that? How do you polish the paintwork?
Yeah.
How do you polish the aluminum and get it look like that? And they can sit there and watch how they polish aluminum and the different cuts and different stages we do or they do to get this done. So, and it's all, and the product has changed so much.
Man.
My goodness. The product has changed so much. It's gotten so much better. It's very competitive, too.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, I tell everybody, you know, we use high-end products. I mean, you know, we got high-end aircraft to preserve, so we use the P&S products. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
We really love it. It's easy to use. And it's a good quality product.
You had to picking up a lot of detail tips over the.
Let me tell you. He says what they do. There is plenty.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Okay, we're back.
We had a hiccup.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Yeah. My phone died and there's no real Wi-Fi here, so we're so I just asked Evan a question and I gotta re-ask it again because I wasn't expecting that answer. I was asking you know, what's your favorite, you know, thing about the museum? You know, and he's telling me it's like asking about his favorite kid, but you're telling me about the story with your dad
it's pretty cool. I mentioned when my dad was still around, you know, he was a crew chief P-38, so World War II 55th Fighter Group. And we had the P-38 come up for the Doug Champlin collection when we got it up here in the early 2000s. And I intentionally left parts and pieces off that plane. So when we got it up here, I got to work with my dad on the P-38.
That is so
cool. Something that he did. And, you know, it's not a big, huge parts and pieces put together, but it was my heart that poured out. I mean, to see him turn around and go, you need to take that off. You need a 3/32 punch to take that off, and you get to do this. And he was telling me what to do, which, you know, growing up was that same thing. But
he was
telling me what I need to do, effects of plane, and a guy who's videotaped said, Evan, you just get out of there. Your dad knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
exactly. And certainly did. So that was probably the highlight of my life for working on airplanes over the years.
And he got it done fast.
Yeah, he did.
He got it done fast.
So favorite planes, the P-38 is a heartstring for me. But, man, you look around at all these things. The B-17 was a cornerstone of this museum for many years. And, you know, we get the B-29, and Rennie and his crew, the Detail Mafia, have done amazing things to that plane over the years.
Several times.
It's turned in. We have all the remote turrets, guns working in there, and every plane's got a story. Every plane's got something really cool, unique about it.
Right.
So you got to come down here and just see them all.
Yeah. And are a lot of them just like donated, or is it all stuff that, you know, Boeing comes across and brings them in and let's restore them or refurbish them or whatever? Because I noticed in the other museum where we had the banquet is a lot of like the smaller or the older, you know, Wright brothers.
A lot of them are donated. There's been a few purchases, but most of them are donated. The military aircraft is still federal property, so they're the long-term loan. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to come and retrieve them, but they just want to keep that string there to let you know that, you know, you're going to take care of them. It leads us right back to what we're doing today.
Yeah.
We're taking care of them.
Today's even Air Force One is we had to go through some steps with the Air Force DOD.
Yeah.
Touch it. And
yeah.
They came out and inspected. Same with the Concorde. They came out
inspected it. And,
I used to do for British Airways. They that you know they wanted to look good, and we painted 2 years ago. We painted Concorde. I had to talk with the legal people in London and New York, and it was funny. The first thing they said, "Well, you know, we don't have a lot of money." They said, I said, "No, no, no, for money, permission. We're gonna paint it." And the lady in London, she goes, "What color scheme are you gonna paint it?" And I said, "Oh, easy. It's gonna be Starbucks on one side, Costco on the other."
There you go. Yeah.
And it's true. The British have a little sense of humor. She did laugh, but I reassured her it's going back and delivered to us. So we painted it right back.
And we were told when we did the tour of the B-17, it's 6-inch rollers they painted that way.
Yeah. This is so
6-inch
true.
Rollers. Yeah. That's insane. Well, same with the 747, correct? Yeah.
747 was the first one we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
First one.
Wow. Okay, go look at that.
Is, so what's the reason behind the 6-inch rollers?
Well, we don't have an air permit. We're not in a paint hangar.
Okay.
And we certainly can't get these planes out to paint there. And as far as the 747, there's no paint hanger big enough on Boeing Field to handle that.
Yeah.
So it's not big enough, but it's big enough for 6-inch foam rollers.
Wow.
But the techniques are really interesting. I was explaining that to one of your crew earlier today. It's a little bit complicated, you know, using a single stage two part paint, and then with the thinner reducers and catalysts to get the mixture right with temperatures and humidities, it changes a lot. I mean, it could be if it's sunny out, you know, you mix first the temperature, humidity, and if it gets cold, you have to, you know, change things around. So it's a challenge. But you look at the 737 back there, it looks like it came out of a paint. You don't see roll marks. You don't see anything. And some of the paint manufacturers, the aerospace paint manufacturer, we use Axel Nobel aerospace coatings on there, and they realize that a lot of people painting more, so they have people that actually work on that, and they know what to do for to make this right.
Mm-hmm.
American Airlines use a paint for livery stripe with rollers, so they know it goes on out there. We're pretty unique in what we do, but we like everything else here, we find unique people to do this stuff, because I guess it was easy. Anybody would be doing it. And so many things we do are unique to the industry and the field. And working in a museum environment is different, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So I've got a question. I've been, you know, most of the day looking in y'all's direction and staring at old Jimmy over there working on the, you know, the bomber. When are we ever going to see a Rennie Doyle with a polisher next to one of the machines?
Oh, hey, that's a good idea. Hell yeah. He ain't going to look like me, though.
Jimmy hasn't moved in years. Rennie's still moving around.
Yeah. I think we need to petition the museum to get at least a detailer. At least a detailer on one of the
we'll put a Dynabraid machine in his hand up against the side of a plane.
You know?
But you know what? You gotta wait until I talk these guys out of the MiG-17 over there so I can park it in my yard.
Yeah.
I told you I'd talk that. No, seriously. What? I'll talk to the curator. Is they're trying to find a home for it, and and it needs a lot of work.
Oh wow!
But I promised him. And I told him. I said, "Hey, here's the deal: is that we will life our property's going to be, you know, the property. I've got a family of aviation nuts, and my neighbor's got an American fighter." And I said, "Well, I got to put a Russian fighter up against his." And so, yeah, it'd be yard art that, you know, you can imagine what we do to it. It'd look.
Oh,
you know, God. I mean, it wouldn't be flyable, but
who cares?
You know,
just to look at it is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So it, but I mean, that thing, but you know, the B-29 back in the day was looking a little.
Get to the Lowry Air Force Base outside Denver, Colorado, and got it up in like 1992. And it was a stripped out hold right now. Not many of them left. I mean, it was on the American Built series a couple, like 6 months ago. And we had the pleasure to have them come out and interview and take photos. television, the cool plane.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the most complex, most expensive World War II aircraft.
I can imagine.
Plane. I mean, you get into computers, there's fight on there, remote turrets, pressurized systems, they're all pressurized, and it was very, very complex. Radar, APQ-13 radar on there. It was like, it was everything they wanted to be, but it was also a very troublesome aircraft. I mean, they were updating that as it went through the war. I mean, they were parts and pieces were coming out for it to meet it in the field, to send it to the theater, install it out there. Don't ever stop a production line. Don't stop that assembly line. So they kept it going, and the parts and pieces would meet them in Saipan or Tinian. That's where the stuff was sent for them to upgrade and get the service bulletins and things like that put on it. Fascinating stories.
Marlene, that has underwritten a good part of this through the years.
Yeah.
Her husband was on the island when...
From Colonel Paul Tibbetts came through it. And she told me just last night that Colonel Paul Tibbetts, who flew Enola Gay, the B-29 bomber, when they launched, he was out there as a Boeing factory tech rep, and he's called all those people in to the tent just to make sure that plane was ready to go. And he said that he told Marlene's husband, Lowell, who worked for Boeing, he says, tomorrow we're going to change the world forever. And he didn't know what they meant, because it was a pretty hush-up subject. It was very tight, and they weren't letting on. You know, they had a nuclear weapon, and they unleashed the atomic age, and they found out it did indeed change the world.
Oh, forever. Yeah. As Detail Mafia guys are doing push-ups over by the B-29.
Yeah.
Was that Kevin Davis?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been doing push-ups everywhere. He was doing them on the wing of the Air Force One earlier this morning.
That's all. We used to do that when the 22 first came out. We did 20, you know, we were doing push-ups, but that's pretty cool. Yeah, so, you know, to have Marlene come out, and she's been a bit advocate of getting this, you know, bomber back into the shape it's in now, and have her so pleased to see it.
Yeah, you know, she's an awesome lady, and she certainly helps with our funding out here to keep you guys going.
Yeah, pretty magical.
Great lady. Great lady.
Did you guys get to meet Dick last night?
No, I didn't go up to shake. I shook his hand, but I didn't go like talk to him.
Yeah.
Meeting people like that, it's like being starstruck. You know what I mean?
That's how I am.
So I didn't know what to say. Individual. You know, I just said thank you and you know, shook his hand, and
He just turned 100 last February.
I know.
He's still going.
Yeah. I know.
I asked him if he told his folks he was going to be out late last night.
And they said he comes every Saturday morning.
He does.
Sits over.
He comes out there, talks to people. That's so awesome.
So two years ago when we met him, he was 98 and a half. Yeah. He pointed out the half. So he's sitting there. My daughters and my wife, a couple other people were. My wife walked up to him and said, "Can I have a picture with you?" He goes, "Oh, well."
Yeah.
So he's spitting a little game, right? So she puts his arm around him, and he looks at me and he goes, "May I?" And I said, "Of course so." So he puts his arm up here and he drops it down a little bit. He goes, "Fellas, I got permission. Don't worry about it." And he ate it up. He likes to have pretty girls around him. Well, you know, some things don't change. And,
nice. Yeah.
He's a character.
To, you know, 35 missions over Germany.
That's
and to hear his stories. I mean, I could go. We could write.
I would really love to just sit there and listen to his stories. I mean, my wife's grandfather is a Vietnam veteran, and whenever I go to his house, you know, we always just, you know, shoot the shit, and I love listening to his stories. It's.
Well, those stories become future stories for you to share that goes on to be history.
Yeah, I mean,
And we're losing that because a lot of families and people don't storytell anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're so into their freaking phones. And listen, phones are great technology, but it's the other side of it's, you know, the devil, you know.
You can't get the authenticity from a phone.
Can't. YouTube doesn't. I mean, it's great that we record those things, but to meet. If I were to watch the video about Dick, it's one thing, but to come up and, you know, in life, you know, talk with him.
Means a lot more.
You know, and, you know, I asked him, how'd you deal with fear? And he goes, you know, after my first mission, I asked one of the senior pilots, he said, which he was a lot more senior than me. I was 22, he was 23. He says, I asked him, he says, yep. And he says, so You know, we had a, what did they call the Germans with lava, but the big ones, the 50s or something like that.
We had
88s. There you go. Thank you. The 88s. They'd lob up 88s at him, and he said he had one go off right in front of the nose of the B-17, and he keeps the piece of shrapnel that was embedded in his chair, his seat, his pilot seat.
Oh, wow.
And he said that he came back and he asked, you know, his mentor and coach, how do I get through this, man? I was just scared to death. And he goes, you can't control, and you kill those 88s, roll. Fly your mission and bring as many of your men home as you can. And live to live another day. And he goes, so now I just never worried about the things I couldn't control. I only worried about the things I did have control.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty wise words.
Speaking of hero, our crew chief, Gary, mm-hmm. was crew chief on our UH-1 Huey during Vietnam. Mm. He came in through town. You know, they're climbing the Vietnam era, climbing agent. I had him here to see the very jet he flew in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
Not just another Huey, but the very one. He'd tell me, he'd open the door. There are still bullet hatches underneath.
Oh, wow.
The chopper from what they repaired. And we're fortunate we were able to get that and restore that chopper. Mm. And once a history.
Wow.
Fascinating people.
Yeah.
They're heroes.
So doing something like this, Rennie, you and Chris, I know you're forcing Chris to go take a little bit, but you know, is this something that like you guys are done tomorrow, right? Saturday? Is it something that like day you guys are already like, okay, we've got to start planning for next year?
I already told the museum, expect a contract, a proposal for contract acceptance by the end of the month.
Okay.
And the reason why is the sooner you want it, they've got a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And the more them, the easier they can afford us. Right. It's really a team effort.
And is this something that you do have to propose every year?
Every year.
Okay, so it's not every something year. That they're just like doing it for the last 20 years. You're you're locked in, you're golden.
No. Thankfully, because of this guy, we are locked in. Right. Let's face it, you guys are in the industry. This is really a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's not too many. I mean, people
this couldn't happen. It's Smithsonian, wouldn't happen. No. Air Force Museum. I mean, I look at the major museums. Some of them are need some help, and
it was going to be a question of mine. Like, have you been? Has any other museum? Have they?
Yeah. So we went and did Reagan, and it was it's a different culture, and I got to be careful. I don't want to paint people in the wrong light. Excuse me. The staff at this museum really, really
they can't.
He has the same passion for he's a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And not that Reagan would become a money earner. And there's a fine line between having to run a fine establishment that's looking at numbers and then remembering that you have history and you have artifacts in your hand.
Yeah.
And a lot of them forget that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And it's different in the nonprofit world.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, we have funding, we have content, but if we show them what we're proved to them, what we can do, we show them.
Right.
This is how we should be doing it. We struggled in those first.
We really struggled.
It was a hard sell, kind of. You know,
when it was a lot more money, even back.
I mean, it was a hard sell to say this is really something we need to do. We better start thinking about this. We got to preserve these aircraft.
Yeah,
and they're going wrong. But there's only so much you can do.
Let me tell you, in those early days when we brought over our students, you know, 07, you know, and on, we're gathering money up and sending somebody on a McDonald's run for lunch and dinner because we didn't have any sponsors. It was 100% on us. And and we stayed, it was for profit. And we had an underwriter, Joe Clark, you know, was out with that, right? And even Joe donating some of the money back to the museum or not collecting, reducing the amount to help me get the title of, you know, detail of Air Force One, which we've had a couple of administrations come after it. and wonder why. And all we have to do is show them what we got back in those days. You know? But, you know, really shady, you know, hotel up here and make it to show. We knew that if the museum kept seeing us do what we're doing, that at that point it wasn't even about the proceedings and even this.
Right.
And we were one of the only sources that could do it safely. Is cladding on aluminum on Air Force One, where it was our biggest worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got it down now. We can do this for another 100 years and it's not going to affect the aluminum. But if the wrong contractor comes in and does the wrong thing once, that aluminum's got to be painted over.
Right. So here's a question, because it's kind of been going around, right? Like, you know, everybody's coming up talking to Evan, like, you know, this might be his last rodeo. And he's like, yeah, I might got one more in me, maybe two more in me. Like, it's really hard to leave. And you know, not a spring chicken anymore. You know, not to sit.
I'll do an old. I just had a 1,400-pound horse sit on my, my jaw.
Exactly.
I'm pretty badass.
Well, exactly. But thing, right? Like God forbid, like.
Not genuine.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
That's what I was wondering. Is there?
Have you said I don't make the call the rules around
here? Yeah.
Is that our?
Well, I mean, we know Chris runs everything anyway. So.
And actually, once it gets us up here, you know, Chris up here, but you know, Doug, Bob, run the actual project. I don't. Chris doesn't. Oscar, all of the this year has come in with all of product.
Okay.
And supply. This will go on. We're grooming people that are, you know, young. I mean, I've probably got another 20 years, you know, doing this. Maybe 30. You know, if I'm in my 80s and still doing this, I don't know. I mean, right.
You'll be sitting over there in the chair on a Saturday morning talking about
watching these guys do it. I mean, my dad's 87 years old and still walks 5 or 6 miles a day. So, I mean, it's good. The DNA's there. I just got to stop falling off of shit, you know.
And getting stepped on.
Yeah, and letting the horse. I mean, the fall didn't hit me. It was the hoof.
Is your horse named Trigger? Is
Rip,
it after like
Rip,
a
Rip?
Oh, okay.
Rip. And he is Trigger, not from Yellowstone.
Trigger is.
That was
Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers. Yeah, but Rip is 1 year older than the TV series Yellowstone, so he's not. I didn't name him after Rip. They named the character. Wait, my horse is Rip. You guys watch Yellowstone at all?
Yeah.
So the character is, he's a badass, right? He's a mean dude. My horse is not that. My horse is ha. You want to? You know, will you love me?
Yeah,
you
know?
That's good though.
Oh yeah. That's he's perfect. Yeah. Diane's horse. You look out at him. You turn him out in pasture. It's time to come in, and he looks at you, and he's like, "What?"
Yeah,
and you call him, "Hey, come on!" Yeah,
nope.
Right.
Yeah,
I open the gate, and Rip's going, "Whoa, here he goes, Dad! Hi, you know, come on, give me some." And he, even after the day after, when he saw I wasn't upset at him about our act, I was more worried about him.
Yeah,
we could have both been really hurt.
Yeah,
I'm glad he didn't get hurt at all. But he came up to me the next day, and there's a picture of it. He came over to me, he was real gentle, brought his head over me, had his body this way, brought his head over this way, and pulled me into him.
Horses are such amazing animals.
Well, it is, because you know what's funny is we had Rip, and I was working with him, and we had a couple people in there, and he loved one person and didn't like the other, and the other had just gotten out of prison for attempted murder, and Rip hated that dude.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't stand him. So they do. I had a dog that was the same way.
Yeah, I mean,
and a boomer just bit everybody. He was totally, he didn't care. He bit me, he bit everybody. So, and he's on my, I got to tell you. Boomer, my dog, we just lost him a month ago, our dog, and he's with us.
Yeah,
he's with us.
It's like losing a child, man.
Honestly, still not.
I mean, I never lost a child, and
I don't want to
experience that, but I mean, like,
no.
I have two dogs myself, and you know, they're like my kids. No. Alex,
Yeah.
Alex has dogs too.
Babies. I can tell you, is have as much fun. I have no regrets, man. Boomer, when we knew he lost 2 months, 1,109 walks. Some of them are only 200 yards.
Yeah.
Some of the walks averaged 50 minutes, man. He got to where, you know, he wasn't quite as dangerous anymore, and he wouldn't go up and scare the poop out of other. He had two and a quarter inch canines up and down.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
And, yeah, he was just a beast. But he would, on the other dogs, if he got too overexcited, he'd have an angina attack. So he knew he couldn't go over there and face off with them. So he'd wait until they're back in the house and he'd go over and take a dump right where they were every single time. I mean,
so he took that from you. I'm pretty sure you taught him that, right?
Yeah. I prefer peeing, you know. I mean, you know, it's, you know,
a few adversaries' lawns.
You know, I would say that I've envisioned it. You know, not really on their. Well, it is the lawn around their grave, yeah. But so I guess so.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. Well, listen, we know you guys got to get back to work.
Do we have to work,
Jason? Well, work, I know work. Jason's been you know chomping at the bit to get over there and work with Yasser and cut some metal. So. You know,
we could put them over there doing that. Yeah. We'll get them on there. We'll get them on a new tool. Yeah. We got one that's already dirty for you. You know,
I've already been doing it. I did it first thing this morning.
Right on.
I walked right in, and Yasser was like, "You want to go?" I was like, "Yep."
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did you get some film of that?
Yeah.
We got film.
We got film of Bob.
We
did a live.
Did you?
Yeah, we did that's a live. Cool. Yeah.
We got Bob Phillips and I redid all the plexi. Yeah. When are you going home?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh shoot. Are you going back up in the? Are you going back up in the? Yeah. Would you take him up because he's served in the army and give him a little spot on that flag? Here's the thing though, you got to pop salute, dude, and I got to be there to film it because that honestly, every time I see that, we got several people that served and God, sweaty again.
That spicy chicken for lunch.
It
touches his eyeballs with it.
You know, I'll tell, not to jump away, but I will go back to the day of my accident, which was not quite a month ago. And, you know, when I walked into the ER, when they got me out, I self-evacuated. I got out of there. I was fine. I mean, I knew I had a problem. I honestly thought my ribs were broke. I might have had some internals because I started swelling so bad. I thought, okay, I might have some internal injuries. I'm not pissing blood. I just spit out teeth fragments. I've got a pretty bad open wound on my face, but I think my jaw's fractured. You know, because I'd fractured it before. And so we got to the ER. They called they were gonna evac me out to a top level trauma center because my soft tissue damage was just so heavy.
Oh wow.
And when I'm sitting in the ER and they're plugging me in, they're getting ready to take me into CAT scan, and I was joking around with them. I got in the bed on my own, you know. I mean, I had to take a leak and the nurse pulls up one of those canisters. And I looked at her, so you're kidding, right? And she goes, well, you can't get out of, man, I was up out of bed. And she's like, well, what do we do with your IV? And I said, well, you can disconnect it. And she goes, well, we can't. I said, then I'm pulling it out. There's your choices. And she goes, oh, boy, are you always this, you know, ornery? I said, I'm not ornery. I'm just not pissing in that can. You know?
Are you set from there? And she's over at the door?
Yeah, exactly. I said, man, I am not pissing in that thing. I'm walking. There's a bathroom right there, and I'm going to it. So. And I was nice about it. They loved us. We had a whole swarm around us, you know, and they found out, you know, my wife and I in the guard, and they, you know, medical care in Southern California is ragged on. I'm one of the biggest raggers of it. Not that hospital, not that day. They're sweethearts. But the main thing I thought about, there's a reason for this topic, is I thought, God, this can't be bad. And if it is, I got to figure out a way because I ain't missing this project and I ain't missing those men and women getting on that flag. And, you know, it turned out, man, I walked out there, they're prepping me for the worst. And I, you know, thank the Lord above, I walked out, you know, I walked out 5 hours later without a broken bone. And four oral surgeries later, I got another jaw procedure to do, a couple more oral surgeries to go. Those are easy. You know, those are.
Man, it's still pretty, man.
Not, I mean, you know, there's stuff swollen, but. I'm not kidding you, dude. Diane said this. I don't remember it, but I did a self-evaluation. I got the teeth fragment out of my mouth in case I went down. I didn't want to swallow anything. The other thing, I had my mind. I knew I didn't have a hand injury, no spinal injury. I could move everything with my toes. Went down. I don't feel anything. Did a pressure test. Rebound's all good. Cap refill's good. And she said, I reached down, squeezed my junk. And I was like, I'm good.
Still there.
I was like, I'm good. I checked on my horse. That's the first thing I did. Yeah. Then I put my sunglasses back on.
You said you checked your trigger?
Trigger. Four kids. It shoots good, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, guys. Listen.
23 triggers.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this, and especially, you know, thanks for inviting us.
Well, you're invited next year.
Well, thank you.
Now we can budget.
Now we can budget for it.
Here's why. This is an industry event.
Yeah.
It's not a mafia event or a Rennie Doyle event.
Well, And here's the thing that I told everybody is, you know, when you invited me to this, and I was like, man, like, we don't really have the money for this. But I was like, you don't tell Rennie no. Yeah. You know, like, Rennie's the kind of guy that's going to be like, you know, if it's important to you, you're going to find a way.
Yeah.
And if you don't come, then it wasn't important to you. So I'm not going to invite you next year because it wasn't important.
Yeah, exactly.
So you beg, borrow, you steal, you sell T-shirts, you know.
You beg people to buy tickets to get a flex machine.
Yeah, buy some tickets for a flex machine that we're giving away. You know, all that stuff so that we can come here. And, man, it is definitely worth it because, you know, every year I see it on the Facebook posts, you know, and I see the Instagrams and I see the videos and it's like, man, look, you know, that looks fun, you know, but then you come here and you're like,
how much different is it?
Holy shit, this is way cooler.
I am absolutely in love with this.
Can you see the hook?
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah. See the hook?
I'm done. Got me.
We'd look at each other every year back in there and Dad said, we're never doing this again. I love these airplanes.
Invite me next year, buy a ticket and just walk around.
Every year we say no, and then by fall we're like, okay, let's go. But we're not even waiting that long. We haven't for several years. We got a lot of help in the early days. I mean, like I said, I enslaved. I mean, I asked him. I mean, I told him. I volunteered him.
To help out.
But
you're like, oh, you volunteer to work here, so you're volunteering to work for me.
It's funny. I had it. I said, hey man, have you ever held one of these policies? No. What is that? Check it out. Ooh, look at you do that naturally. Good.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a great Tom Sawyer. They never painted this before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really fun.
So I'm gonna get out of here real quick, but it was a pleasure talking to you guys. Yasir just came over.
He's telling you to
go. Did he have a unit over there for you?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, if you need something, let me know.
I will.
How do you like the machine?
I think it's really nice.
Wait till you pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay.
It's really a really nice machine. I'm very impressed by it. I can't wait to see the improvements that, you know, they're gonna do to this machine and start selling it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it will be. You know, the general, we've probably got it to 80% right now. And the things we have to change are, thank God, pretty easy changes.
Minimal.
You know? And so we already actually came up with a solution with one of them. So we know what we need to do in production. But it's doesn't feel like a geared DA.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't, which is very surprising. So I'm a fan. For the amount of time I used it this morning, I'm a fan. And, you know, I'm going to go use it some more. So
here's the thing with it being, I'll get out of there. Is you know, we've got speed 1 through 6 on this edition, right? And I heard what you guys are saying. You know, speed
go to 11.
Then it made me think. So Matt and I talked, and it's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then AB afterburner.
Yeah,
because it's aircraft related.
Yeah,
you know?
Man, that's aircraft so cool.
Related. We heat it. That's a great stuff.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
So real quick, in case anybody wants to know, is there a release date?
We're hoping sometime in September.
And price point?
400-ish.
That's not bad.
Yeah, 400-ish.
So roughly same as
competitors. It's in the market with everything else, give or take just a little bit. You know, we the final's not there. We've got early distribution is starting to set up. If you are a sizable distributor, you know, get a hold of us. And we'd like to do that. You know, we're not doing any direct sales. You know, it's all you got to be somebody, you know, to sell it. We're not looking at selling one or two at a time. I'm going to start classes, a really cool program in Southern California this fall that's called Toolpalooza. Mm. And what it's going to do is I'm very much, if you come to a 5-day training, even though we've got double black, you know, PNS in-house, is that I train on everything. I've got a lot of product manufacturers I'm close with. And what we're going to do is start a tour in Southern California, where I've got a unique opportunity, every tool known to mankind. And we're going to take a little 2-3 hour tour where you can come in and test all the different manufacturers.
That's
cool. We'll see, you know, features and benefits, show you some tech. And then, you know, I hope you choose ours, but if you choose a Rupes, great. If you choose a Flex, great. We want you to choose the tool that works for you, mm-hmm. honestly.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how we operate within Double Black too.
No, it's good stuff.
All right, you better go get dirty because you're way too clean.
Dirty.
Yeah. And you got gloves?
Yeah.
You all set up? Okay, cool.
I'll come find you about the flag whenever. Once I do that.
I would say that's going to come up here real quick. You might want to go up on that before you go over there, you know, and that way because it's going to be pretty – are you pretty much set up over there, Evan?
Pretty
close?
Yeah, you know, we're doing the crown with the plane.
Okay.
Continuing, but I can't close the after door right now.
Right.
So maybe I could, you know, ring up. We'll see what the guy's saying.
Okay. If not, right before we leave tonight, okay. We'll get you up there quick.
Okay.
You know, we'll get you up there quick.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right, man.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Evan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go maybe try and fact by myself. So.
Are you?
I don't want you to be by yourself.
He's going.
So. Oh, that was fun.
Auto Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads. Towels, got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint. The all-new mitt on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two-bucket system. Glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey. Don't forget, go watch us on YouTube, check out our channel, and in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all Auto Fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And in the new wheel pawl, for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
So tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
You know, a lot of guys were generally trying out going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
In its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think detailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name is Alan Metcalf, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP. To save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.